Well, the sermon title this morning is "And the Dance Goes On." Please pray with me. God of wisdom, may my words be faithful to the written word, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring us all closer to the living word, Christ Jesus, in his name. Amen. Well, I'm going to begin by reading one of the last hymns that Nell played for us just 2 weeks ago. It is the Lord of the Dance, or Danced in the Morning. It's hymn number 157 in the red book. I'll read this, don't worry, I won't sing it. I danced in the morning when the world was begun, and I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun, and I came down from heaven and I danced on the earth, at Bethlehem I had my birth. I danced for the scribe and the Pharisee, but they would not dance and they would not follow me. I danced for the fishermen, for James and John. They came with me, and the dance went on. I danced on the Sabbath, and I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They whipped and they stripped, and they hung me on high, and they left me there at a cross to die. I danced on a Friday when the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body, and they thought I'd gone, but I am the dance. And I still go on. They cut me down and I leapt up high. I am the life that will never, never die. I'll live in you if you'll live in me. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. Well, this hymn has always been special to me. I first heard it as a child in elementary school, and it was through this hymn that I first began to understand the gospel. And then on, whenever I hear the melody, listen to the words, I hear the strangely familiar invitation of Jesus beckoning me to join in the dance. And sometimes here, I hear this as a challenge to keep dancing. But when I first received the bulletin, what would be Nell's last service, and I saw that this hymn was listed, I was elated. What better hymn could fit the emphasis of our worship that day as we focused on the call to discipleship. All those who were present that Sunday know that Nell played a very special rendition of this hymn. Nell was so intensely involved in her music, she kept on playing multiple extra verses after the hymn was over, and we'd all stopped singing. Well, the word can be proclaimed by sermon as well as by song. Perhaps Nell's special rendition of Lord of the Dance was her parting message to us, intentional or otherwise, to encourage us to keep on dancing with the Lord along our path of discipleship. While the hymn Lord of the Dance itself contains no scripture, it does contain much theological insight as it retells the life of Christ. In honor of Nell, I'm using this hymn as a basis for the sermon today, along with some of the scriptures this hymn alludes to. So looking at the hymn itself, the words and the music are by Sidney Bertram Carter. It's composed in 1963, and the copyright is held by Stainer & Bell, London. Carter was a poet, a songwriter, and a folk musician born in 1915 and passed away in 2004. Raised as a Quaker, was a pacifist, Carter served the Friends Ambulance Unit in the Middle East during the Second World War, and then worked for the British Council afterwards, resettling refugees in England. There's another Quaker connection. The melody to which these words are set is from the American Shaker song, Simple Gifts. Well, who were the Shakers? They originated in the northwest of England, the area around my hometown, to be precise. They broke away from the Quaker movement in 1747 when the Quakers were becoming less charismatic. The ecstatic nature of the worship services of this breakaway sect led them to be called the Shaking Quakers. In 1774, the sect moved to America. So the melody is truly American and not a Celtic tune, as many people think it is. Incidentally, my hometown soccer club, Bury Football Club, is nicknamed the Shakers, since this sect originated around the Bury area. Unfortunately, their fortunes still appear to be intertwined. In 2023, the Shaker sect was down to just two surviving members. Celibacy will do that to you. And then while Bury Football Club, my hometown club, peaked well over a century ago, winning the equivalent of the Super Bowl in 1900 and 1903, and that's been about it since then. The only excitement today is whether or not the club will make it out of bankruptcy. Well, this is a very popular hymn. In 1996, Lord of the Dance was found to be one of the five most popular hymns sung in morning assembly within the British schools. Well, the lyrics follow the idea of a traditional English carol known as Tomorrow Shall Be My Dancing Day, which tells the gospel story in the first person voice of Jesus of Nazareth, portraying Jesus' life and mission as a dance. So let us take a closer look at the lyrics again, beginning with verse 1. I danced in the morning when the world was begun, and I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun. And I came down from heaven and I danced on the earth. At Bethlehem I had my birth. Well, the hymn begins in the first chapter of John with the pre-existent word, the Logos, and the act of creation. Unlike the matter-of-fact creation account in Genesis, where we are told how God saw that each aspect of creation was good, this verse picks up on the delight of creation found in the Hebrew wisdom literature. For instance, in Job 38, verse 7, it concludes with, "When the morning stars sang together, and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy." This is representative of the morning dance in the stars and the sun. The prologue of John's Gospel also describes how Jesus came down to earth, verse 14 there, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The second chapter of Matthew grounds this location in Bethlehem, the city of David, therefore validating Jesus as the Messiah. I move on to the second verse. "I danced for the scribe and the Pharisee, but they would not dance, and they would not follow me. I danced for the fishermen, for James and John. They came with me, and the dance went on." Well, the whole gospel story tells how the religious leaders of the day, the supposed shepherds of God's people, rejected Jesus' message. We read in Mark a few weeks ago, in chapter 1, verse 14, 15, I quote, this is the nature of the dance. "Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news.' The scribes and the Pharisees refused to dance." The hymn again reinforces the message from Mark's gospel just 2 weeks ago, and now was last year. James and John, as well as, of course, Andrew and Peter, ordinary people, fishermen, answered Jesus' call to discipleship. They followed and the dance went on. Now the third verse of the hymn, "I danced on the Sabbath and I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They whipped and they stripped and they hung me on high, and they left me there on the cross to die." Now the Lord of the Dance introduces a few new moves that makes the religious leaders uncomfortable. In last week's gospel reading, we had the first example of Jesus healing on the Sabbath. Soon the religious leaders react to this direct challenge to their interpretive authority as custodians of the Mosaic law and the human tradition that came around that. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus describes himself as Lord of the Sabbath. And in chapter 3, after Jesus asks the holy people, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath?" he heals a man with a withered hand. After this act, we read how the Pharisees begin to plot with the supporters of the Roman puppet king Herod to have Jesus put to death. And there were many more other times where Jesus healed on the Sabbath. And eventually that led to Jesus being arrested, tortured, and horrifically executed by crucifixion. He was left to die on the cross for all to see, even with his hands and his feet nailed to the cross. The Lord of the dance still invited people to dance with him. Now the fourth verse. I danced on a Friday when the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and they thought I'd gone. But I am the dance and I still go on. This verse refers to Good Friday, of course, and Jesus' final encounter with Satan, which began during his 40 days in the wilderness after his baptism. Here this encounter is symbolized by carrying the cross. Jesus, who danced amidst the moon and the sun at creation, dies in darkness. Jesus is dead, buried, and gone. The religious establishment breathed a collective sigh of relief. But as we know, the grave could not hold him. The prophecy in Genesis 3:15 is fulfilled. I will put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. Victory is assured. The Lord of the dance became the dance. In the moment of death, Jesus becomes life. The dance still goes on. Another final verse. They cut me down and I leapt up high. I am the life that will never, never die. I'll live in you if you'll live in me. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. The final verse celebrates the truth of the gospel. Jesus is life eternal. In John chapter 11, Jesus says to Martha, after the death of her beloved brother Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. In the gospel text that we read this morning, Jesus expands on this relationship between the believer and the life that Jesus alone can give in this life and the next. This is the life possible for the believer, the disciple, who dwells in Jesus and allows Jesus to dwell in them. Jesus and the believer are at home in each other. And the life of Jesus becomes the life of the believer. That's what we just read. The Lord of the dance, who danced in the morning of creation and in the nighttime of death, dances in the lives of those who are willing to follow him. Well, there's much here in this hymn about the life of Jesus, the gospel message itself, and our call to discipleship. But I want to emphasize just two quick things. First, Jesus is the Lord of the dance. There are plenty of other dances that we could get involved in this life. Jesus is the Lord of the one dance that truly matters. And second, look at the chorus that is sung throughout the hymn. They cut me, Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. It does not say dance if. It says dance then. This is an imperative, a command to join in the dance. We must not be as the scribes and the Pharisees refusing to dance. For those who join in the dance to his redemptive healing and joy in this life. And if we keep reading, the next words are, wherever you may be. Wherever you may be. This is both an invitation, a broad invitation, and an assurance. Like grace, there are no conditions here. The invitation to dance applies to whatever season of life you're in. It applies to whatever circumstances you might be experiencing. So I cannot think of a better metaphor of discipleship than the dance outlined in this hymn. Like a dance between two people, it involves a personal and intimate experience with Christ, an interplay between God and us. As I said earlier, I cannot listen to this hymn without experiencing the haunting invitation to join the dance and to keep dancing. Now, thanks to Nell, she has added an unforgettable new layer to this hymn that calls us to the dance of discipleship. Nell danced with Christ while on earth. She brought music and dance to our worship and to the lives of this faith community. Now, she is dancing with Christ in eternity. As I said 2 weeks ago, after the hymn had finished and we had stopped singing, Nell continued to play on and on. I believe she was telling us that while our time to sing on this earth will inevitably come to an end, the dance does not end. The dance goes on and on. Dance then, wherever you may be. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.